And as we came into the car park, Ivy and Christine told me how they'd had such a good time last Sunday, and the people were blessed and they were blessed, and we didn't finish till 6 o'clock. And I thought, yes, praise God, it's so good to know you can go away and the fellowship's doing good and they're being blessed as God blesses and refreshes us. It's great to see Anne back and to renew fellowship with her. We'll have time to chat to her later. So it's good God's bringing the family back together. I was saying to Louise went with us, and I was saying to her when we were away how blessed we are as God's children, you know, because although they invited Andrew and I to the wedding and Andrew to take the marriage ceremony, it was God, what he orders he pays for, didn't he? And he's really good, because we had enough air miles to have a flight for nothing, and so the flight didn't cost us anything. Praise God, he blessed us immeasurably. We were the first week we went to New York, and we were all prepared to book the hotel and do the sights from the centre of the city, and we were going to book the hotel before we went across to our exhibition in the States in July. But being busy people, we said, oh well, we'll sort it out when we get back. And we'd no sooner arrived at the exhibition in July than some old friends there, he's a supplier, Marty Kafka, that they always say to us whenever they see us, so when are you coming to New York? And we keep saying, yeah, we will, we'll come one day, we definitely will come. And we've said this for years and years. And the first thing she said to us in July was, so when are you coming to New York? And Andrew says, well, actually, you're not going to believe this, but we're coming in September. Right, she said, you stay with us. No questions asked, you stay with us. So we were met at the airport, and we were taken 30 miles out to their home. And it was beautiful. We were in the middle of the woods, and there were trees all around us. We sat on the veranda with a drink in our hands, 85 degrees, sunshine, and the deer running through the garden. And I thought, God, you know, people pay 5-star hotel prices to be in a place like this, and yet you've just so blessed us, so richly blessed us. And we saw all the sights, lots of sights in New York, the good, the bad and the ugly. And then we moved on to the wedding on the Thursday. We got into Tennessee. We had a rehearsal on Friday, and then it was the wedding, the real thing, on Saturday. The wedding went very well indeed. God just anointed it and it flows. And two cultures coming together. You know, I mean, Andrew, the weddings here are all quite formal. But when Andrew was around, they're never too formal. But they wanted something completely relaxed. They didn't want anything heavy, anything long. There were 300 chairs on the lawn, and it was nearly 90 degrees and we were sat in the sun, and they didn't want a long ceremony. And you can understand that, because it's really, really hot. I felt sorry for the men in the suits, and for the first time ever I saw damp on Andrew's suit, on Andrew's shirt. He'd sweated, and he says his middle name's Never Sweat, but it was so hot there he did sweat. But praise God, he wasn't uptight. He was totally relaxed about it, weren't you? I didn't hear him get uptight before we got there. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? It was just walking in that freedom and that anointing that God gives. And when we got there, it all went so smoothly. The bride is quite an edgy person. She gets irate and irritated. And she did on the Friday night. She was beginning to get that way. And she just came and put her arms around Andrew, and he put his arms around her, and he prayed with her and talked with her. And that calmed her down. And the next day just went, glory to God, a dream. Absolute dream. Everything fell into place. There was nobody getting uptight, was there? It was just like, we always do it this way. This is just like an everyday occurrence. And it was. Andrew stood up to greet them all, and he didn't get any response. And he said to them, "Don't you understand my English accent?" He said, "You'll understand this. Well, how are y'all? Good to see y'all." And then they just totally let the guard down, and they relaxed, didn't they? And they responded to us, and they were cheering. It was a wedding like I've never ever seen before, and you will never. You might have seen one on telly, but you won't have seen one in life, real life, like this. Apparently, the bridegroom's father had bought 2 Corvettes when the child was very young, and they'd done very, very little mileage. He'd kept them on one side for the wedding day. So Andy turned up. There was him and his groomsmen, and they all arrived in 2 Corvettes, and they were open top things, and they came tearing down the lane and up the driveway to the wedding, and the engines were roaring, weren't they? And I think they had 4 groomsmen. 4 groomsmen and the groom. And they startled us because they got out of the cars, and they'd got tuxedos on, they'd got black shirts, black ties, they'd got sunglasses, some of them had got ponytails, and they'd got black and white tennis shoes on. Now, this was like, whoa, it can only happen in America. This was cool, man, now they got, didn't they? And then the ring bearer was the dog Dude. And the dog had the ring tied to his front paw. And they'd got him on a good leash. "Don't you run away, lad." But he behaved very well too. So yes, the whole thing went extremely smoothly. The service was lovely. Short, but all about covenant. And God, how he has his covenant with us, and he puts us together, and he places us in covenant. And covenant will take you through anything and everything, because that's God's way. He goes through anything and everything with us, and he sets the example that he wants us to follow. And so it all went extremely well, and it didn't finish until about 8 or 9 at night. It didn't start till 4, did it, in the afternoon. You couldn't have stood it at midday. I thought, why are they having a wedding at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? But now I know why they had a wedding at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But it did, it went superbly. And they were blessed and we were blessed. And everybody afterwards said what a lovely service it was. And they couldn't have had anyone better to do it. And I thank God that he blessed Andrew to pull it all together and just to mix the two cultures together, and it was beautiful. We really did enjoy ourselves, didn't we? And I don't know whether anything else I've forgotten, but Andrew might fill you in later. We stayed in Tennessee for a few days afterwards and enjoyed ourselves by going to the swimming pool. And again, talk about blessed. We couldn't have been better looked after in a 5-star hotel. We were fed whatever we wanted, when we wanted, drinks were there. We were just taken to the pool. We were swimming, just Louise and I, in this pool most of the day. Laid on a sunbed, fast asleep. And I thought, God. I said to Louise, "Don't you ever try and do it your own way, kid, because it'll never work." I said, "You'll never get this treatment. Or if you do, you'll pay highly for it." But I said, "God gives you the very best. He blesses you exceedingly abundantly." I said, "You follow him and you'll never ever go wrong. And he'll make sure that you get the rest when you need it. And his blessings are always on hand. Trust him in everything. He never fails. He never lets you down. He never misses a trick. He never misses a beat. He's always there, one step in front of you. So you go with God and you'll have the best life imaginable. I know I have. Praise God."
Come into his presence, and we see the power and we see the might of his presence as we learn to enter into his him through praise. But specifically through worship. The word of God says, "Enter into his courts with thanksgiving in your heart." And you and I need to learn to come to before God with thanksgiving. And you might say, "Well, I don't have a lot to thank him for." Well, there's one thing you can thank him for, is that eternity for you is secure. And from that point you can begin to work. You have a sure and certain hope. And from that point you can begin to work at your salvation. You can begin to work and to develop your relationship with the Lord in a surety, in a confidence that He is for you and that He is not against you. Yes? Does that sound good? Hallelujah. So that should bring some peace. Yes, you make mistakes. We make mistakes. Yes, we have problems. Yes, we have difficulties. Yes, we have trials. Yes, we have tribulations. But the word says that Jesus said, "But I have overcome the world." The tribulations, the trials, the difficulties, I have overcome them. And so because He's done it and Christ is in us, He's now beginning to equip us to be overcomers. Look at somebody and say, "Thank God I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer." You might not feel like an overcomer, and you might have a week where you were not feeling and acting like an overcomer, but that does not change the matter, that does not change the facts that God said you are an overcomer. Praise the Lord. Are you warm enough? Praise God. That's a novelty here. Hallelujah. It's a luxury. Where we were, it was in the 88-90s. We arrived back in Manchester. It was I'm not sure it had hit 50 when we arrived, and it was raining. What a day to come back. You know, it gave you that feeling of, "Why am I here, Lord? Why am I here?" And a friend of mine said, our friend that we stayed with, Kerry, in the US, again, it's a quiet time in the year for his business, but he went to work one day to sort out, at the end of the day, just to check things in and sort things out, and he'd had a bumper day. And he said, "You know, I could keep you two here," he said, "because the business always blossoms." And one day, as we were going out from his house, he said, "I could build you a house on that hillside there." So I said to him, "When do we start digging puttings out?" Hallelujah. That's at least the second or third time he sort of passed that sort of comment. But anyway. But in all things, God is there for you. And you can look at circumstances and situations. You can be in positions. You can be doing things that in one sense, and I'm speaking for myself, you didn't want to do. You didn't want to go that way. But God seemed to press you that way. And you see the blessings that come later. And we certainly have seen that in our life and in our relationships with other people as we've gone along. God has so blessed us, and Grace has shared some of the things that happened to us this last trip. And the privilege that we've had of being able to be in the presence of other people who just wanted to bless us. Why? And we just thank God that we can be a blessing, but in the same time, because you are a blessing, you automatically are being blessed also. That's an automatic thing. As you discharge the blessings of God, as you discharge to others, then you will find that God charges into you. The only way to... when a battery gets full, when it's under charge, the charging unit switches off. There's power to the charging unit, but the charge from the charging unit does not dissipate into the battery, because the battery is full. And for you and for me, and I know this is not what I'm teaching, but I don't know, well, this is what God's got to say. For you and for me, there is a time when we are full. And because we are full, we've then got to discharge. Because if we don't discharge, we're not going to get any more from God. Because God wants you to be running over. He wants, the word says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall the blessings be. But for the blessings to be running over, you have got to also be running over. for a waterfall to carry on running, there has to be a release of the water. Does there not? If there isn't a release of the water, the level will continue to rise and rise and rise until the waterfall no longer exists. Think about it. I know we all think about a waterfall and it runs off, doesn't it? But if it didn't run off, if there was a dam there, there would come a point in time when that waterfall was no longer a waterfall. And the only time that it can stay a waterfall is as long as there's a constant discharge away from it. And you and I have got to be constantly discharging the blessings of God into other people's lives. Sometimes it's only in a small way. Sometimes it's in a large way. A battery on a car can give a small amount of electricity out of it. It can light the internal lights of the car. That's just a small amount, but there is a discharge. And then sometimes there is an enormous discharge from the battery. And that is when you put the key in and you turn the key and you turn over the engine and the starter motor kicks in, and that is the greatest discharge that comes from the battery. And as it discharges, it turns the engine over and brings the engine into life, and the engine begins to produce power. Yeah. The engine there begins to give it momentum and motion forward. And in the same way, you and I have got to realize that God has brought us to a place where He has inputted into us so much that He wants to see that from each and every one of us there is a discharge of His presence. Amen. There is a discharge of His anointing. There is a discharge of His pleasure. There is a discharge of His joy. There's a discharge of His peace. Amen. And like Grace said, as they were practicing for the wedding, the people were putting chairs out and everything seemed totally disorganized, and the bride's getting stressed because things are not going in the right place, and people weren't concentrating on what they were doing, and people were just stood there talking. They were all planning for the day, but nobody was doing anything. I stood and watched from the place where I was going to be standing at the wedding. I watched for a little while. I watched people, and I could see the stress levels building, and I could see things going in disarray gradually. You know, there were three or four organisers, but none of the organisers were joined together in unity. They're all doing their own thing. Hallelujah, bless them. Everybody thought they'd got it right. And finally, you know, one or two had said that it was a hot day. We needed some chairs moving across. They were on the back of this truck or something, and the truck was way over there, and people were carrying the chairs way over there, and I'm like, I ain't carrying no chairs. And I just stood there, and finally I raised my voice. Hallelujah. People sort of took notice. The truck moved. The chairs were rearranged and everything was laid out. And the bride went, the pressure was off because somebody took charge and began to discharge some form of authority and presence to bring some form of order. And in the same way, you know, spiritually we need to bring some form of order first in our own lives and then into the lives of others. And as we do that, we are releasing from the presence of God the presence and the glory and the anointing. And when that anointing is released from us, we will see things change. And when you see things change, you will see that, you know, initially people are having to move and to change things and move things around, and there's a bit of activity and a bit of maybe awkwardness. But finally, it comes to a place where it brings order and it brings peace. God is a God of order. God is a God of peace. God is a God of joy. And He's a God who will see that things are done right, because that's what God seeks to do. And God seeks to bless His people. God's plan and purpose is to bless you. It's not to do you down. God's plan is to bless you. The word says it is pressed down, it is shaken together, and it is running over. And that is God's promise to you and to me. But you and I have got to realize that we have a part to play in all of this. And part of this is part of our worship, part of our adoration to God, part of our focus. What are we focusing on when we come to church? What are we focusing on at home, on our own? What are we focusing on? Where is our focus? Our focus should be on God, His Word, and Jesus being the Word, and focusing on what is the Holy Spirit going to do. It's not about what can I get, because that's an automatic thing. And as we've said in the past, and we've asked the question, what is the greatest gift you can get from God? Many people have had different ideas, but you know, when you finally boil it down, if somebody needs healing, the greatest gift of, you know, a gift of prophecy is of no use, lest it is accompanied by the gift of healing. A word of knowledge is of no use in that situation, lest it is accompanied by a gift of healing. And so when somebody's sick, the greatest gift is a gift of healing. When somebody's worried and stressed and needs some advice, then one of the greatest gifts is maybe a word of knowledge, a revelation, the revelatory gifts of the Spirit. And so the greatest gift is not one gift in particular, but it is a gift that is needed at that point in time. It is a gift that is needed for that very need and that situation and that circumstance. And those gifts are available to each and every one of us every time. So, but we've got to get, we have to realize that we have to focus into the giver. And we have to worship the giver, not the gift. So often people worship the gift. Or the gift and the man who's got that gift, instead of actually worshipping the one who is supplying that gift, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to realise and we need to adjust our focus. I mean, we met some people who worked with Benny Hinn. Kerry's, my friend you met, Kerry, from the States, they came over to Mum's funeral, the big guy. And his sister has never been to visit him in 8 years. Never called him, never spoken to him. Kerry's taken me past the house. They've never seen one another in that time, and they only live, what is it, less than 30 miles out, you know, and never seen each other. And they suddenly rang up and said they were coming to the wedding. They came to the wedding and they got talking to us, and the next thing they wanted to come back to the house. Well, this, I wouldn't say it winds Kerry up, but then Kerry's like, I don't know what you do. What do you mean? Suddenly all the family wants to come to Kerry's place or meet up with Kerry, and Kerry's saying, I don't know what you do, I don't know what you bring with you at times. But he said suddenly the things are beginning to open up, and the family was sharing with us and we were sharing with them the things of God. And the focus is all about Jesus, basically. And his sister and husband who worked with Benny Hinn were saying, oh, you know, you'll have to come over sometime and we'll take you and we'll introduce you to Benny Hinn, and the next time he's in the UK, we'll let you know, and you know, we'll arrange for you to meet up with him. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, so I want to meet Jesus. Now, Benny Hinn's a tremendous man in the fact, in his commitment and in his anointing and in his gifting, and I admire what God does through him, and I admire his commitment to that, and I thank God for him. But lest it be Jesus, then Benny Hinn would have nothing to show. And it's not about a mere man, it is about a man who is seated at the right hand of the Father God in heavenly places, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that we have and everything that we own and everything that we possess comes from our relationship with him. Pick your feet up, watch where you're walking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everything that we own, everything that we have, comes out of heaven, believe it or not. It's not about what you do. It's not about at times how hard you work, although, you know, part of that, the word says man don't work, man don't eat. Simple as that. You know, it's about having that input. It's about having that desire to. And so God seeks to bless you in many ways. But the blessings that we receive do not come out of our own effort. It doesn't work like that. Because it would mean that the fittest one amongst us could obtain greater blessings than the one who is not fit. Right? It would also mean that the one who is more intelligent has more degrees than anybody else could gain more favour with God then. It's not like that. Thank God for that. But it is about the heart. It is about the desire. It is about the passion. And all of that comes out of how we worship God. See, if you have a passion for God, you worship God and you do not care what other people think. Because you know that when you worship Him, God will bless you abundantly. Pressed down, shaken together and running over. The problem is we worship self. We worship things. Ferraris. I'll pick on myself today. Just before we went off to the States, I went to a Donington racetrack. I went to a Ferrari day, didn't we, Luke? We had a good time, didn't we? These old Ferraris were screaming around the racetrack, and then they brought out the fairly new ones that nearly deafened you. And we were watching these red things dash around the track, and we had a great time. But in the end, out of watching all these things and enjoying the pleasures of the intelligence and the wisdom of that man has been able to create these pieces of engineering feat. I mean, believe it or not, a Formula One sports car, race car, could actually, if it was physically possible to get it in that position, could actually go through a tunnel, and if it could go up, it could actually run through a tunnel upside down, because the development that has gone into this car, the amount of force of the air pressure will inflict upon the car will cause it to stick to, could cause it to stick to the roof of the tunnel. Amazing. So that thing can run upside down. Just got to keep the speed up, lest you, if you take your foot off the gas, you will land on your head. You know, these are the developments that man has made, and these are the achievements that he's done. In one sense, you know, if he can go fast enough in a Formula One sports car, he can beat gravity, as long as he maintains that speed. Problem is, the road runs out. And you'll land on your head. End up in a mess. But you see, it's not just about, it's not about things, it is about a purpose that God has for you. And the question to you and to me is, has God got a purpose for you? Yeah. Has God got a purpose for you? Yeah. And are you going to walk in that purpose? Are you going to walk in that purpose? Now, to walk in that purpose, God, you have to be equipped by God. Just a quick thought. These racing cars, when they go around the track, they have these big wings on the back. And these big wings on the back are there to keep them down on the ground, to keep them from sliding all over the place. And they're to keep them down, as well as I said, if they go fast enough upside down, they can stay on the roof. But they're to keep the downforce, as it is called, is to keep the wheels on the tarmac. And when you watch this sort of racing, and it does happen occasionally, those wings have been known to break because of the pressure and the vibration, and they break off. And the moment they break off, the car begins to be a total nightmare, and the car breaks loose and it ends up in a heap somewhere and crashes into a barrier possibly, or comes off the road, and it's just wrecked. And the reason, what I'm trying to say, is because suddenly it is not fully equipped to do what it is designed to do. Are you catching my point? And in the same way, God is seeking to equip the saints for their work in the ministry. And if we haven't been equipped fully, we can end up being a wreck, becoming a cropper. Now, Blessed Ivy's probably the youngest convert in the church. I didn't say the oldest, you see. I said the youngest now, you see. There you go. She's the youngest convert. And in one sense, she doesn't know a lot. Bless her. Not a problem. It's not a problem. Because she can do like we've been taught to do and we've been encouraged to do. Ask questions. Glory to God. And by asking questions, one gains knowledge. One gains information. And by asking questions, we begin to find out what God wants for us. By asking questions, we begin to find our direction. By asking questions, we begin to find out how to read the word and where to get the information from. By asking questions. So, asking questions is not a problem. The biggest problem is being able to answer them. Sometimes we don't have the answers immediately. Is that right, Geraldine? But we don't give up, we just carry on. And in the same way, when they develop and build these racing cars, they develop and build them, and suddenly they find out there's something wrong. And so they start asking questions, how can we fix this? It's not doing what we want it to do. It's not achieving what we want it to achieve. And so they begin to continually develop and seek to move forward. And in the same way, we have to continue to seek forward, to move forward in God, to see God blessing us, and we have to press in. Amen. We have to ask the questions and we have to seek God. And the only way we can start seeking God is by first worshipping God. Yeah. By giving Him thanks and giving Him praise. And as we worship Him, we shall know His presence and His power moving in our lives. And it's not about things, but it's about purpose. What is your purpose in life? What is your purpose in life? Some people say, well, my purpose is to irritate people. Glory to God. Some people say, my purpose is to encourage people. Some people say, well, my purpose is to show mercy on people. And so, but what is your purpose in life? Your absolute purpose is to worship God first. And when you learn to worship Him in spirit and in truth, then you'll know. You'll begin to see your life developing and unfolding, and the greater purpose of your life to bless and magnify the Lord and to give Him praise. And so it's essential that you and I learn to worship God in spirit and in truth. And it's important that we learn to do that, because as we do that, we will see the presence and the power of God moving through our lives. A couple of weeks ago we talked about the true essence of worship. And we sought to understand what God was doing and how God was working in our lives. And you know, God really, when He was in the Old Testament, there was a separation of the tribes of Israel, tribe of Judah. Separated and became the Jews, became the people who worshipped God, and the Israelites went away and started doing their own thing. And you can do your own thing. That's quite possible. You can do your own thing, and you do your own thing, and God walks away and leaves you to it. He leaves you to it. And God will allow situations and circumstances to come upon you until it causes you to come back to Him. And that's what he was doing with the children of Israel. They walked away and God allowed them to walk away, and God allowed the things to come upon them. Because you see, when you're in the presence of God, when you stay in His presence, when you stay in relationship with God, you are guaranteed that there is a protection around you. He tells us that we're protected by a strong tower. There is a defense around us. And you know, people will say, well, the devil's after me. No, well, if the devil's after you, it means that you walked out of your defenses. It means you stepped out of the tower. You stepped out of the protection that God has placed around you in some way, some form, some shape. And so the only way to get back in is begin to focus and worship on Him. And as we worship on Him, God will then bring that tower of strength around us and that protection. And stop focusing. We have to stop focusing on ourselves. We have to stop focusing on situations around us that cause... You see, the enemy would seek to draw you away, distract your attention all the time. And as he distracts you from doing what God wants you to do, you stop worshipping God and you start worshipping the circumstance and situation. And they say, well, I'm not worshipping being in trouble. No, but you focus on it that much, you might as well be. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say in that? You see, when you're worshipping God, there can be something that is going on and you're not going to give it time. You're not going to give it energy. Because it gathers energy when you spend time focusing on it. You bring it by, you take hold of it by the scruff of the neck and you drop it in the presence of God. You drop it before the throne of God and you give it to God and say to God, this is going on in my life, sort it out. And you let God get on with it. And then you don't focus on it then in the presence of God. You bring it to God and you let Him focus on it and you focus on Him. And you start to worship Him and to give Him praise. And as you do that, then God begins to bring peace into your life. And that peace begins to affect everything that is going on around you and everybody else that is around you. If you're under stress, you'll stress everybody else around you. Have you noticed that? If you're being obnoxious, you'll make everybody else around you obnoxious. If you're being loving, kind and gentle, you find that people around you are loving, kind and gentle. Or you get the odd one who comes in who tries to be obnoxious and what have you. But if there's enough loving kindness going on, it will evaporate that other thing. It will drive it out. But all this happens, starts to work as we worship God. Joshua said, ask for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That means ask for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. He focused on God. He was not equipped to be the leader of the children of Israel. Don't give it him again. He wasn't equipped for that purpose. But he was called. There's a difference. You see, you can get people ready to do certain things, but they'll never do them if they're doing them out of their own flesh, out of their own knowledge, and out of their own understanding. But if they are called of God, if God's calling is on your life, then God will equip you. And that is totally different to being educated to do things. That is totally different in being trained to do things. I'm not against training, not against education. But you can have all the education you want. You can have all the training you want and you can still be a fool. You can still be foolish. You can have as much education as you want and you can still be an absolute fool. You see it with families who have lots of money and they send their children to private school to give them a good education. Nothing wrong with education. But the problem is, education does not make one wise. Too much education can make them absolute fools, and they squander all their money and they become an absolute pain to society. The Word of God says, he that winneth souls is wise. There's a focus there. What are you focusing on? And as you focus to win souls, God says you're wise. So as you win souls, God says this is a very wise person. Because you are heaping up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Amen. And those treasures in heaven will spill over to today. You see, you have an eternal bank account that is available to you. But to pull off that bank account, you have first to give out of yourself. And as you give out of yourself, then you pull off that bank account. Yeah. That power source in heaven feeds you with the battery. And as you give out, you receive the blessings of God. And so it's time that as we worship God, and we haven't got there yet. Worshipping God is not necessarily making a lot of noise. You can sit and worship in the quiet of your own heart. And we're to learn to do that. But there are also times when we worship God and we worship Him in spirit, soul and body. And that means we get loud. We begin to be expressive. Get Philip dancing. By faith. See? Word says he sets my feet a dancing. And so we can rejoice in the fact that as we are focusing in on God, that God will be to us a greater blessing than we've never known before. Amen. And the way to focus again is by our worship. It's not about what other people are doing directly, but it is about you as an individual learning to worship. And some of you say, well, I can't lift my hands. You can. You just choose not to. Is that right? I can't lift my hands and praise God, but wait a minute. If I said to you, can you lift your hands above your head? Or, for instance, if, for instance, you go to the gym and you decide that you are going to go to keep fit and then to get the music going, I'll guarantee at some stage they will have your hands above your head. Is that not true, sister? True. It's true, you see. I wouldn't know, having not been, being as, you know, I'm fit enough. And so, you know, they have you raising your hands and doing things. But when it comes to church, can you raise your hands? I'm asking serious questions because, you see, you're raising your hands to get fit physically. But I'll tell you this, you need to raise your hands to get fit spiritually.
Amen. That's right, amen.
Yeah. Hear that, Carol? Yeah. True. I don't care what anybody says. If you can raise your hands to get fit physically, you can raise your hands to get fit spiritually. There's a scripture that says, enter into his courts with thanksgiving to your heart. Enter with praise. There's another scripture somewhere. Yeah, lifting up holy hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. About lifting up holy hands. You see, before you got to the gym, it was in the Word of God. How to keep fit is in the Word of God. The first thing that needs to be fit is your spirit. Your spirit affects your mind, and then your mind and your spirit will have a go at your body, and will get your body fit. But it all stems out of, what are you worshipping? Are you worshipping your body? So I'll go to the Keep Fit class and get fit. Nothing wrong with that, but don't forget, you need to get fit spiritually. If you are going to see God move in your life in power, if you are going to see the kingdom of God come in your life in power and might, you need to get fit spiritually. And the way to get fit spiritually is to start worshipping Jesus. Start worshipping God. Number one, you've got to learn to do it at home. That's the first place you do it. It's the easy one to do at home because nobody's looking at you. You can lift your hands and nobody's watching you. If you've got problems, it looks like you're being hurt. You know, if somebody said to you, came to you with a gun and said, stick your hands up, you do this, wouldn't you? Obviously, yeah. No, you won't. You do that. You know, when he said stick your hands up, you'd stick your hands up. You know? Whether you've got sure right guard on or not. And I haven't, because my middle name's Never Sweat, as you've heard. I can't use that stuff. Daniel bought me some 2 years ago. I wonder what he's trying to say. So I tried it again. And I went, I leapt 3 foot across the room. I said, there's no way can I use that. It's too cold for a start. So what I do, I've still got it. So what I do, I spray it like this. And then I run through it. About the nearest I'm going to get to, you know, sure right guard or whatever else. Coming to the presence of God, he says, lift your hands. Give him praise. Lift your voice. Let his praise be on your lips. His praises be in our mouths. You see, what you speak is what you will be. What you speak, you're speaking into being. And so you have to watch what you say. And as you come, now when you're coming before God, you start speaking to God. You start speaking negatively, God will say, so be it. God agrees. Some of us need to go around and pull up the seed. Go and dig it up quick and start planting new seeds. Instead of weeds, plant proper seeds that bring food and life to our lives. And so we need to attack those things. If you're going to attack anything, attack those things. Dig them up and start planting fresh seeds. Seeds of faith, seeds of worship, seeds that will bring great blessings to you and to others around you. You see, you are being equipped to bless others around you. You see, when you are being equipped to bless others around you, you do not have to think, well, when am I going to get blessed? It's automatic. It's on its way. God will always see that you are covered and that you are blessed, because to be a blessing, you've got to be blessed. And if you're prepared to release blessings, then God has got a duty to maintain you in blessing. Praise the Lord. And if God causes you to give, God will provide for you. I've shared with you in the past how when God has spoken to us and said, I want you to give £1,000 to this work, and it's like, but I haven't got £1,000. But God is not saying, let's have a look at your bank account. He's saying, I want you to obey. I want you to do as I ask you to do. It's not about how much have you got. It's about how much will you and I obey. And so I said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. When I get home, I'll make some arrangements. Somehow we'll get it together. We stayed there another seven days at that place. This was in Atlanta, Georgia. And by the time it came to us getting ready to leave, put $1,000 in her hands. In cash. So you know what? It went from one hand to the other hand and went straight to where it was being told to be given. Didn't have to go looking for it. Didn't have to think up an idea of how to get it and work for it. All I got to do was say yes. And then the moment I said yes, then God made a way. And I made a way by saying yes. I opened the door. I was obedient. I stepped forward and God said yes. And when I said yes, He said yes. And the blessings were released and they were on the way. Pressed down, shaken together and running over, so it went in one hand and out the other and ran over. And what did it cost me? Nothing. Some people say, well, it cost you $1,000. I didn't have $1,000, and I gave $1,000 away, so I didn't lose anything. Didn't cost me anything. But what I did gain was I gained the blessings of $1,000 multiplied to me 1,000 times. And the harvest is still yet to come in for that. And it's all called obedience. But obedience is caused by worship. What do you worship the most? You will obey that which you worship the most. If you worship God the most, you'll obey everything He tells you to do. Even though what He tells you to do seems to you to be impossible. But that's okay, because God is always the God of the impossible. He's not going to tell you to do something that you think and know you can do. He's going to tell you to do something that is bigger, that is further away than you've ever been, that is higher than you've ever been to, and that is greater than what you've ever done. Because then, when you achieve it, and you will achieve it, you know that you achieved it only through the power and the anointing and the presence of God.
That's right, amen.
Praise His name. But it is about worshipping Him. It's about seeking Him. And as we do that, and our time of praise and our time of singing should be about worshipping. Because when we start to worship, the presence of God will come down. And God will start giving gifts. I'll say that again. God will start giving gifts.
Yeah, that's right.
God will start giving gifts.
Yep.
And He'll give gifts to people who've never had that gift before. Yeah. And they will use it. And you will know it's God. Yeah. From the youngest through to the oldest one of us. Whether it be physical age or spiritual age, God will do those things. But it's out of that desire, it's out of worshipping, it's out of loving God. What do you love most? What do you worship most? What do you seek to achieve? If you want success, if you want to be effective in this day and this generation, if you want to live a good and long life, then worship God.
Yeah, that's right.
Forget about university. That's not going to cause you to achieve great things. When I was at school and then I went to be an apprentice, my dad told me, get a qualification behind you, get an apprenticeship, you'll always have a job. That was the thinking. That was the understanding, and that was the belief. Because it appeared that it always seemed to work. Today it didn't work that way. The world's changed. The system's changed. But I'll tell you what, in this Word of God,
In Hebrews it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. He never fails. He's never short of money. He's never short of blessings. He's always in charge of things. And I'll tell you, when you have a need, He's the provider of every need. University won't provide it.
No.
Your job won't provide it.
No.
But God will provide it.
That's right, amen.
And if you don't put your focus in on God first, I don't care how many degrees you get, but that's going to be the only temperature that you'll ever get to. You can have 3 degrees, that's fine. That's about your temperature. You need to be on fire and inspired by God.
Yeah.
And when you get on fire and you get inspired by God, it doesn't matter whether you've got no degrees at all. God will lift you to a level. God will take you to a level. God will cause you to rise above circumstances and situations. He will bring you before people. We were at this wedding. And do you know what? There were a lot of people there who were millionaires. I was surprised how many of them there were actually millionaires. Been married 3 or 4 times. Seemed to be happy. Some weren't, some were. What were they on fire for? To get money. To get wealth. Probably down in New Orleans. This last month there were millionaires there. Nice houses. Beautiful places. Probably got out because they had a vehicle. What they left behind was destroyed. It used to be a song. You lot won't remember it. I'm trying to think who it was. I think it was the Beatles. Yeah, probably was the Beatles. Something like, pardon? There was the, yeah, money can't buy your love. And what, did it, was that the one that went, I want money, yeah, that's what I want. Come on, Bill, help me out. Yeah, I've got him going now, you see. Yeah, they're golden oldies. Yeah, they're right. Better what? And but you see, they got money. We walked this week through Central Park. There's a flat that overlooks Central Park. One of the writers of that song, Money Can't Buy Any Love, was shot dead, named John Lennon. He was there, you know, he was one of those people who was, you know, promoting peace through various other forms. You see, God was not in the midst of it. All the money he had didn't bring him peace. You see, you can be at peace in a troubled situation and circumstance. How's Patrick doing? How's Patrick doing? He's fine. We're praying constantly for him to be in peace and that he'll be delivered and set free. But you have to maintain a peace level. If you don't maintain that level of peace, nobody else can do it for you. And you maintain it by worshipping him, because you're focusing on him, and God is a God of peace. If you start getting peace, you're getting it from God. And money can't buy you peace. It can't buy you love. What could buy you a sports car? Could buy you a nice house. You could end up with rotten neighbours. Can't buy you health. Could buy a sports car. Next thing you know, the thing's broke down. You know, so I mean, now you've got to spend some more money on it. So by the time you've done it, just swallows everything you've got. So our focus should not be on things, but it should be on God. And God will give to you the things that He wants you to have, because He says He gives to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Amen.
Isn't that right? But our focus first is to worship Him. And as we learn to worship Him, as we touch the realm of the Spirit, as we touch the things of God, we will see the presence of God being made manifest amongst us and in our own lives, and see the glory of God coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. I'll use the notes another time. We're still no further on the notes than we were 2 weeks ago. We've moved no further. But we'll move no further until we see God move.
Amen.
It's about seeing God move, not about man move.
Right.
When God moves, man then has to move.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.